Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Wednesday afternoon. We have all sorts of scandals. There's no great shock there. Wreck-It Ralph has managed to hurt damn near everybody here in the Commonwealth. It is troubling, to say the least, that the Inspector General's report relative to the Virginia Parole Board is just now seeing the light of day, and it's not because the governor or the public safety secretary or the attorney general or anybody else up there on Capitol Square wanted it to be released. It is because John Burkett, crime insider from CBS 6, did his usual brilliant investigative journalism, and he got a hold of this thing, and, well, John's with us. John, thanks for being here.
Jeff, thanks for having you, man.
It's always my pleasure. You have in your hot little hands there something that it appears everybody in the governor's office wanted canned, right?
I mean, that's what it appears. You know, I have a hard time believing that they haven't seen what I'm looking at. I know that if we remind your listeners, back in the summer, the first FOIA I got back was heavily redacted. Remember, it was all blacked out almost.
Yeah.
And then lawmakers got involved on the Republican side, Todd Gilbert and Mark Obershane, and then a 6-page unredacted version came out, in which at that point we were told that was it. That's the crux of the investigation. But a little birdie chirped in my ear that said, keep digging, and said there's more pages. And sure enough, somehow these pages have gotten to me, and it's damning. To say the least.
All right. Well, John, you want to fill us in a little bit on what really happened with this investigation of the parole board?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, with the 6-page report, it basically at the end had a summary that said the allegations against the former board chair, Adrian Bennett, were substantiated and really didn't go into further, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the conclusion on this one, it says the allegations that the former BPB chair, Adrian Bennett, and the current BPB chair violated multiple state codes and policies procedures is substantiated. The former chair and the current chair violated the Constitution of Virginia, multiple code of Virginia statutes, DHRM standards of conduct, and BPB policies and procedures. And if you dig deeper into the report, and this is the report that is solely on the Vincent Martin release. If you dig deeper into the report, it talks about in 2018, Bennett requested the BPB administrator to instruct another hearing examiner to upload the 2018 interview report and submit their own and to put any of their input into the parole board notes section. That hearing person came back and said, listen, really, nobody looks at the notes section on the parole board. It's not easily accessible. And then it says board members typically do not review this portion of the parole board summary report. Then it says both the VPB administrator and the hearing examiner refuse to falsify a report and violate their own ethics.
Wait, John. Did I hear you correctly? they refused to falsify reports. So, I, you know, look, I'm not the brightest guy sitting here. I'm by myself, and I'm still not the brightest guy in this room, John. But are you telling me then what that really means is they were directed to falsify reports?
That's exactly how it reads, Jeff.
Wow. Wow.
I'm trying to look through here. There's a thing that, and I asked Secretary Moran this today, and is during the COVID pressure, it kind of derailed at the end because I started shouting questions about the parole board. And there is a section in here that talks about the Secretary of Public Safety, Brian Moran, and how Adrian Bennett did not tell him the truth during a conversation. And he told me in an interview afterwards he doesn't remember having that conversation. I'm trying to find it in the sheet here.
You know, that's fascinating, John, because you know when it has come to defending Adrian Bennett, when it's come to defending the current chair of the Virginia Parole Board, when it's come to defend Governor Northam, the public safety secretary, Brian Moran, he's sort of been the point guy on all of this.
Certainly in press conferences, he has defended their actions, saying that, you know, they were taking the OSIG directives in mind and cleaning up the operation. I mean, they would come clean and say that things were wrong and that the investigation revealed that and that they're cleaning it up. But, other than that, you haven't seen much about it.
Yeah. Wow. All right. So I guess my question to you, John, has anybody clearly off the record on background said to you, look, here is the person that snatched these other six pages out of the report?
No, no. And that's not going to happen. I mean, Brian Moran has been asking me for a copy of what I've got. And I told him, I said, listen, guy, I can't release to you what I have because there are markings on it that would give away my source. Mm-hmm. And as a journalist, I'm protecting my source. And then the governor's spokeswoman said, well, how do you know the documents are real? And I said, well, they're on Virginia letterhead, and they're addressed to Brian Moran. So I would suggest they're real.
Wow. Incredible stuff. John Burkett is joining us from CBS6, the crime insider, who has once again engaged in what can only be described as an amazing piece of investigative journalism. We just don't see a lot of that in this day and age. So, John, realistically, what do we think happens next? Do the feds pick up on this? Does this become something that heads over to the U.S. Attorney's Office?
And, you know, Jeff, it's a very good point. And, you know, I can only take Mr. Moran for his word. And he tells me he has not seen the 13-page document. Well, if that is true, somebody in that administration has seen the document because somebody sent it back to the OCI, or the OSIG, the Office of the State Inspector General. Someone sent it back and said, we need you to take this, this, and this out and then resubmit it. That's what somebody did. That is clear to me. Because you can't go from six pages to 13 pages.
Now, the other question I have, John, if, in fact, you've got somebody inside the... Now, you said it was the whole thing, just so I'm clear, was addressed to Brian Moran, right? It wasn't addressed to the governor.
No, it was addressed from Michael Westfall, the State Inspector General, to Brian Moran, Secretary of Public Safety and Homeland Security.
Okay, so then it has to be somebody inside Secretary Moran's office. If it's not him, and like you, I'll take him at his word that he doesn't know anything about the other six, seven pages. But somebody inside that office sent it back to OSIG and said, "Hey, pages, you know, 7 through 11, 7 through, you gotta broom those and." What does that say about the Office of the State Inspector General? I mean, clearly, it would seem to be they've got to be violating some sort of rules on their end as well, right?
It just doesn't. What doesn't sit with me is okay, you got proofreading amongst these agencies, basically, but you're not telling us who's doing the proofreading. I can only assume that, you know, maybe the Attorney General had his hands in it because, you know, the criminal charge that the Inspector General suggested about Tonya Chapman for falsifying reports or falsifying information. I don't know. Or for false entries is what it was.
False entries.
Okay. You know, I don't know who down there, if I take it for face value that Brian Moran has not seen this, I don't know who down in that administration and close to Mr. Moran has seen it and washed it or proofread it and then said, send it back to the IG and tell him this is what we want, and then he can send it back to us. I don't know who's done that, and that's, you know, that's the smoking gun. Let's find out who.
Yeah. Well, look, your work is not yet done, John. You know that, right? Yeah.
It's not. It is not.
Wow. You raised these questions at the governor's press conference this afternoon. I'm just curious to know because I did not see it or hear it. What was the reaction from the assembled Northam team?
It was an intense exchange, put it that way. it got pretty, I'm not going to say heated, Jeff. It wasn't heated. But it was intense. You could tell that, they were certainly... They certainly knew after last night's report these questions were coming.
Yeah.
Put it that way. When I showed up, they knew why I was there.
Right. Whew, man.
And what's really a shame, man, is you try to not have to do it in these situations, in these settings where they're talking about COVID numbers and COVID relief and COVID shots. But I submitted a request to speak to the governor and get an on-camera interview. They didn't get back to me. Right. I will give Brian Moran credit. I sent him an email yesterday early afternoon. Within an hour, he got back to me. And that's basically what he told me, that he doesn't know what I'm talking about. He hasn't seen the full 13-page report. And, again, I've got a hard time believing that this level of government officials has not seen this or has not heard about exactly what was in this report.
Yeah. John Burkett is joining us. John, of course, the crime insider over at CBS6. This is fascinating stuff. It's terribly disturbing stuff. I wonder if there will be any follow-up, and I mean simply political cover, John. Do they say to now Judge Bennett, look, you got to go. You're going to have to turn in your gavel. Do you say to current Chair Chapman, hey, it's been nice knowing you. Here's a box. Get your stuff. You're going to be the fall guy on this, you know?
It's a good question, man. And, I think they're in session actually this afternoon, so I'm kind of intently listening to what lawmakers are saying to see if they bring this up, if they bring it up at all. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be fascinating. And John, number one, I appreciate you doing the heavy lifting as usual. I mean, there's really nobody else that does this sort of investigative journalism day in and day out, and for having the courage to follow it wherever it might lead. It speaks volumes about you, brother. I really do appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate that, man. I got to give credit to my producer, Mike Bregazzi, man. He is a hawk when it comes to reading these reports, and we kind of get together and, you know, we talk about, well, this has got to go in, you know, this can stay out. And it was this report, I can tell you, it's eye-opening. I mean, it's the OSIG made several determinations in, like I said, a criminal. There was a criminal class one misdemeanor that he talked about should be applied to the current chair. Wow. So it's a very serious report, and we're going to keep digging and try and get to the bottom of it. And like I said before when we were talking, somebody down in that administration knows about this full 13-pager, right? Because, you know, it doesn't add up. six pages one day to 13 pages months later, it doesn't add up.
It doesn't add up. John, I appreciate it as always, my friend. That is John Burkett from CBS 6. Tremendous reporting. I would urge you to head on over to the CBS 6 website. You can take a look at it. If you did miss the report last night, go and take a look at it. And I didn't want to say it while John was here, but he, you know, for a week or two, he had become the other Burkett, with his sister Sarah doing an amazing job on Tough as Nails. And, well, I think they're both pretty decent credits to the Burkett family. Hey, don't forget, first thing tomorrow morning, live from Orlando, Florida, and CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference, my friend John Reed will be here, and you want to make sure you're here for that. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA.